Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and connect with your heart tonight, Lord, in such a special way. Lord, we thank you that your love is manifested in what you gave, Lord. And we pray that tonight that we would feel that same love stirring up in us, Lord, and that you would mobilize us to give, Lord, as you have given, Father. And we commit this time to you that we can spend in your word, and we thank you for your word tonight, and we open our hearts and our minds, Lord, and we thank you that we can yield ourselves to you as good ground for the seed of your word tonight, God. Come and mold us and shape us, God, and come and establish your kingdom in and through us tonight, Lord, to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. We are continuing on the response, our response to grace. And if you remember, we spent some time on, the rest of God, what prevents us from entering into the rest. We spoke about that unbelief that keeps us from entering that rest. And then we've started to chat about the graces that we receive when we do live from that place of rest. Tonight we're going to specifically look at the grace to give. We can see, it's important that we see right from the beginning of Scripture, we see God wanting to partner with man in seeing his purposes come to pass on the earth. And we see right from the beginning, from Genesis, Adam involved in the whole process, and God actually committing to us stewardship of the earth and basically everything he has created. And it's such an important place to start to understand that God is the creator of everything. He is the owner, the King of Kings, the Lord of all. Whatever we might have is his. Whatever we might, see as ours is really God entrusting something to us, maybe for a little season or for a little while, so that we can manage that and steward it for him on his behalf. Whether it be time, whether it be relationships, even our children, I believe, is like one of those amazing things that God says you can, look after this very well, type of thing, And it's a blessing that he blesses us with, and that he asks us to partner with him in that, and seeing his kingdom coming and his purposes established. And Psalm 24, this one says that God, the earth, the earth and all its fullness belongs to God. There's no doubt about that. And we have this incredible privilege of partnering with him in managing that bit that he has entrusted to us. So let's start read with from 2 Corinthians. And Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church and encourages them from chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus, as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. And it's incredible how we see here that Apostle Paul, referring to this church and this congregation in Macedonia, and how they truly grabbed a hold of this grace to give abundantly, to give beyond what seemed possible, to give beyond what the budget said, beyond what seemed what seemed plausible, and the most powerful thing for me is they were giving out of a place of need. They were going through some terrible trials and tribulations, and they were giving out of that place of need. And I just want to agree with Manette, and commend you guys We've always experienced the Lord's blessing on our congregations. And I really believe it's because of you guys being faithful in giving and faithful in resources and blessing God and giving to God. And I just want to commend you for that. And we see that Paul does this as well. And he encourages the Corinthian church. And he says, see that you, as you are experiencing God's grace in different areas, see that you abound in this grace also, this grace of giving. And you should actually read the rest of the chapter. It's quite powerful how he goes a bit further on it. And as he encourages them, and you think, one could think, why is it necessary for him to encourage the church? And the reality is, you know, although, you know, most of us, just out of who we are, you know, being human and naturally are like selfish. I don't know about you, but I find that it jumps up quite often, this selfish thing, you know. And it's like we go through life clinging onto what we think is ours. You know, we kind of, this stuff that I have or this time is mine or this, especially here in London, I see time as such a precious thing, you know, it's like, it's mine, you know, and I want to do with it what I want, type of thing. And we kind of are clinging onto this thing, which is actually, or most things, like, actually something that God has entrusted to us. And we kind of, you know, holding onto it as if it's ours. And in this grace that God has made available to us, I think it's important that we see that God is imparting something of himself. He's kind of giving us the grace to become more like him. To partner with him in managing and stewarding and managing the earth, but to become more like him. And if you look at who God is, we see that he is the ultimate giver. You know, with John 3:16, God so loved the world, and that incredible love, as we sang about earlier, was manifested in him giving his son, so that we do not have to be condemned. And, you know, that incredible love manifesting in him giving. And we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that in Christ he gave us all things, the scripture says there, that pertain to life and godliness. And there's a lot of scriptures like that where it says all things, or, you know, it's like very wide sweeping statements, and anybody, you know, in a normal conversation, you would think, you know. But when God says something like that, it makes, you know, it's a different thing. When he says, like, all things that pertain to life and godliness I've given you. And James chapter 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And, you know, it's that basically, if we think about it, every positive thing, every blessing, every good thing that you and I experience comes from him, comes from God. He is the source of life. He is the sustainer of life itself. And when I just drive down the road this time of the year, I love these autumn colors. I don't know about you, but it's absolutely stunning. And it's just like God, everywhere God's glory is displayed and his goodness towards us. And every good thing comes from him. And the amazing thing is that he's got this grace available for us that allows us to partner with him in this, to become more like him, but to steward that is entrusted to us, and to manage his resources that are under our control, but under our management for a short time. I'm just gonna work through one of Jesus' most account of one of Jesus' most well-known miracles, and just to give you a bit of background. Jesus had been ministering to this great crowd of people. Scripture says that he looked upon them and he had compassion on them. And then he ministered to them and he healed their sick. And then things went on late into the evening, up into the afternoon, I suppose. And they were in a place that there weren't any fast food places nearby. You know, McDonald's hadn't come there yet. And, you know, the KFC wasn't open. I think maybe it was bank holiday or something. But, you know, they had a problem because they had this huge crowd of people and the guys were getting hungry, and the disciples came to him and said, listen, we should make a plan, type of thing. You know, some people get mean when they get hungry. And So let's take it from there. The disciples' suggestion was, let's send them away so that they can get sort out their own problem, kind of get something to eat. And verse 16, Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish, which is, as a little boy had this, I suppose, a packed lunch or something that his mom sent with him. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And immediately when we hear 5,000, I can see the accountants starting to start the calculations. We had 5 loaves and 2 fish, you know, if you divide that up. But now the challenge is it's not only 5,000, that were only the men. Those were only men. So quickly give me a number. If there were 5,000 men, what do you think? Ladies, how many ladies would there be?
Seven.
You know, normally at a Christian gathering, more ladies than men. But just let's make it equal, okay? Let's say the men those days were very spiritual, and they were like at least as many men as there were ladies, okay? So that makes it 10 already. And if half of them were married and had 2 children each, it's like one of those word sums, you know. But I reckon there would have been probably between 15 and 20,000 people. Is that ridiculous? Anyway, guys, even if it was only 5, it still doesn't take anything away from this incredible miracle. And I just want to work through some core things that we can see happening in this account of what happened. And the first thing is, the problem is there, and the disciples kind of want to avoid it, as we often want to, when we see a need. And then Jesus says, no, but you feed them. And we often see a need, and we kind of thinking, yo, that's quite tough. You know, if I had to do, if I was responsible for this, it would have been quite a problem. And then Jesus says, no, but you're here, do something about it, type of thing. And or, you know, feed them, or do something about this thing that you see in your community, or do something about this thing that you see in your church or in your family or whatever. You do something about it. And especially if the odds are like this one, where it's such a big problem, more like thousands of people hungry, getting a bit grouchy and mean type of thing, you know. Then I believe what often we hear the word of God, we hear his instruction, and then immediately we dismiss it as, no, this can't be God. You know, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's impossible. And we look at the calculations, and it's kind of no way, and we throw it out the window. So often I believe we miss it right here at the first step. That seed of unbelief jumps in there. We know we've heard, or we think we've heard God, and then we immediately know it can't be. No, it's like the Israelites at the promised land the first time. God has said he's given us this land, but now they're giants. So now we don't think so. Okay, that same seed of unbelief, that same thing it says, but can he really do it? Is God able to do as he promised? Is God able to provide for what he is telling you to do? Is God able to make a way for that which he's calling you to do? And so I want to say, beware of that seed of unbelief. Beware of that thing where we recognize a need, or we feel a stirring in our spirit, and we look at the facts and we say, no, it's not possible. And we kind of just move on. You know, I've got so little, Lord. I've got so little time. I've got so little resource. I've got barely enough for myself and for my family. And now there's this huge challenge that I have before me. That beware of that seed of unbelief that wants to jump in there. Secondly, we see Jesus saying, what do we have, kind of thing? What is available? And that's, I think, the second that we need to get to. You know, you hear the word, and now you've kind of remembered what Jaco said on Sunday, and you've said, okay, I'm not going to just think it's ridiculous. I'm going to actually hear what God has to say about this. And the second thing is to say, and to look at the reality of, yes, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. God is not intimidated by reality, okay? And he's not, like a lot of us think, completely shocking with accounting, okay? Some of us think God can't do math. He hears the Lord saying something, and we say, "No, Lord, obviously you haven't looked at the budget. obviously you're missing something somewhere." But the challenge here is to say, "Okay, Lord, I hear what you're saying, and this is what I have. It seems so little, but I want to bring this to you. This is my talent or my gift or my resource or my time. Here it is. I yield it to you." I'm a challenger. Sometimes I'm not only talking about finances and things tonight. It might be your spiritual gifts. It might be a young believer, feel intimidated at intercession because everybody's praying in tongues and you haven't been released yet, or you feel you don't really have a spiritual gift or something. No, don't worry about that stuff. Just bring what you have. Just bring your faith. Just bring that. And be faithful with that. God will bless that. And he will multiply it. He will make the miracle happen. So we get to the place of, okay, this is the word of God. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to choose to grab all of the word of faith. And I'm going to bring what I do have. You know, when the Lord spoke to Moses, he said to him, "What do you have in your hand?" When he had to go and do the miracles in front of Pharaoh, he said, "What do you have in your hand?" And he said, "I've got the staff." So they said, "Okay, let's start with that." And then he had him throw it down and do all kinds of things. But so God says, "What do you have?" So even if you feel, "Lord, I've got so little, I've got so little talents or time or money," this is it. I've got it and I'm bringing it to you. I'm ready for the next step. And when you come to God, when we come to him, be ready to obey. Be ready to do something that seems ridiculous. Be ready to do something that doesn't make sense, but be ready to obey his word. Right, so we see the disciples say, "This is a little boy, and he's got this 5 loaves and 2 fish." And I think they were expecting Jesus to say, okay, well, that's not enough. So just send them out to go and buy something, or let them sort out their own thing, type of thing. And Jesus does the most ridiculous thing you can imagine. He says, "Bring him over here. bring that little thing that you got there. Bring your bit of time. Bring your talent. Bring your spiritual gift. Bring that. As little, as small as it may seem, I'll work with it." And now you must kind of imagine this whole scenario there. You've got Jesus breaking the bread. Make a quick calculation. 12 disciples, 5 loaves. Every disciple gets less than half. Okay? You with me? All right? So now, quickly, if you think 15 to 20,000 people, if it is divided by 12, okay, don't worry. But now you've got every disciple with a little bit of bread, and I can see them walking now towards the people. And you can, maybe Peter, think of Peter, I love Peter. I'd love to meet him one day and chat. Any case, I look forward to that. And I can just imagine Peter, big guy, hungry, long day, hard graft, you know, got a family to feed as well, looking at this bread thinking, "Yes, maybe I should just polish this myself. You know, this is like barely enough for me. You know, maybe," I think Jesus, I know he's blessed and everything, but I think he missed it on this one type of thing. You know, this is bad, you know. And there's this temptation again to take the seed of unbelief or to be obedient with what Jesus had given him to do. And that so much is that where the crisis comes in. You've received from God, whether it be finances or time or a gift of some sort. And now it is that thing of, "Okay, Lord, this is so little, but I'm going to be obedient with this." And I can just imagine him walking to his group of people, bit of a struggle there, you know. He sees this large group of people, thousands of people. There's this mean, big, hungry guy. And, Peter thinking, "I'm not even going to get to that hungry guy, and he's going to be upset," type of thing. And I'm, you know, but... And then we see that as they move with that bit, and as they start distributing the bread, and as they do the most ridiculous thing that ever somebody's ever asked them to do, the miracle happens right there. And as they distribute, "Oh my goodness, there's more." And as I give, there's more. And as I'm faithful with what God has told me to do, there's more. And as I'm obedient to what he's told me to do, and as I'm faithful with this little bit, the miracle is happening right here. And we see instead of choosing to the unbelief, they move in obedience. And I think they probably didn't have time to think about this, because if you think about stuff like this, you probably won't ever do it. If you whip out your calculator and make a few sums, then you'll just get depressed, okay? Sometimes we need to just say, okay, Lord, this is what you're saying, and I'm going to go for it and see what happens. And this is amazing things, that the little that they had was multiplied to feed thousands and thousands of people. As we choose to obey, instead of taking that unbelief, we're going to see incredible miracles happen. You're going to see God do stuff through what you thought your little spiritual gift was. You're going to see God transform lives like you cannot believe. With that bit of finance that you have received, that bit of time that you feel is so little, you want to just kind of hang on to it. He's able to multiply it. He's able to do a miracle right there. And then and we see, which is almost such a blessed part of the story for me, we see that after everybody had their fill, now everybody had enough to eat, not a bite or a crumb, everybody had enough to eat. So much so that there was left over. So they gathered together 12 baskets full of what was left over. And it doesn't say what happened. The word doesn't say what happened to the 12 baskets, but for me, it's such a powerful picture of 12 disciples with families to feed, having their own needs and their own, you know, problems type of thing. And there's 12 baskets full left over. In other words, enough for them and their families. You know, sometimes that's what keeps us. We think, Lord, but I don't even have time for my family. I don't even have, you know, we can't even cover all our bills. You know, my resources are limited. I can't even, you know, my grace to pray for my kids or my family is just enough, and then it's finished, kind of thing. You know, but God says, no. When you move in obedience, when you respond to His word, however ridiculous it may seem, there will be more than enough. The word says an abundance for every good work. Scripture says that God provides bread to the eater and seed to the sower. In other words, He gives bread to eat, but He gives more than that. He gives you extra so that you can sow, so that you can actually, beyond fulfilling your own needs, you can sow something. And again, there was this challenge for the disciples, but they chose to obey. And after they'd done this most incredible, ridiculous thing you can imagine, there was enough left for their own needs and for their own families. They chose to obey. They chose to do that ridiculous thing. And just, you know, I've experienced the Lord as a provider in amazing different ways in my life. And one of them is quite a simple thing, but it's so telling to me. You know, I really love cycling. As if you know, I like mountain biking. But I thought about it the other day, and I've only ever bought one mountain bike. I've owned several, about 4 or 5, but I've only bought one. And I think about it, that first one I bought was when I was started to earn a salary in the Air Force. Now, you know, your first salary is like, woo, you know, and it's in those days we were busy with training. We didn't have any time to spend. We didn't have any opportunity to spend your money. We were just doing push-ups and running around all day. So you're kind of getting a salary every month, but you get food and everything, so there's no real expenses. So you end up with a bit of extra. And I bought this mountain bike. And it wasn't really, it was like second hand and everything, but it was like, I was really excited about it. And then a year or so later, after I've put quite a few Ks on it, the Lord asked me told me to give this bicycle to somebody. And those of you who are cyclists will know this is really hard. You know, this is like Lord asking you to give your child to somebody. You know, it's like, what? You know, did I hear that correctly? You know, I mean, it's almost like the bicycle sleeps with me. You know, in the room. It's not, doesn't stand outside. It's not locked away somewhere. It's here in my room, type of thing. It's I got married, I had to make some changes. But in any case. You know, that's really, it was a big thing. And I really said, Lord, you need to give me a sign, you know, is this really you? And the Lord really gave me a very clear sign. And it was amazing because I Again, I knew if I thought about this, I probably wouldn't have gone through with it. So I just go, okay, here we go. And a friend of mine who I gave it to, he was really blessed because he'd been trusting the Lord for a bicycle. And now I sat without one, and that was like my transport. No, what do you do? And it was incredible. You know, within a few weeks, somebody came to me and he said that he really felt God saying he must give me this bicycle. And the one I gave away was very precious to me, but it was not, at that stage, it wasn't really top of the range or anything. In fact, it's compared to the one that I received, it wasn't very good. But this one was almost brand new. It came with, it gave me all his gear, helmet, everything with it. And such a blessing. And since then, it's been like this, excuse the pun, a cycle of grace. Because I had a bicycle stolen, and then somebody would come again and bless me with even a better bicycle. And then I would just say, be amazed. And then the Lord would ask me to bless somebody with his bicycle, and it'll be hard. And I'll say, okay, Lord, just go for it. You know, I'll just, don't ask questions, just do it type of thing. And I've been blessed again with even better bicycle. And it's just a little thing. But God knows what's on our hearts. He knows the desires of our hearts. And when we are able to move in obedience, even in those little things, the little things and the big things, we see him come through in amazing ways. We experience the blessing of giving and moving in partnership with God. We see how, you know, that little act of obedience touches somebody's life. I once sat when I was studying at the University of Pretoria, we used to have class from 7:30 to 4:30. You know, it was a full day. You know, you're always tired and, you know, you're young and you eat a lot type of thing. And I didn't much to eat. I had something packed in. I was sitting at the bus stop waiting for my sister to pick me up. And there was this homeless guy sitting there, and he didn't have, and the Lord told me, give him your food. And I was like, what? I'm so hungry. I'm almost falling over here. You know, I'm like almost passing out. And then I just said, okay, I think I did take a bite. I gave him what I had. And it's such a small thing. But when my sister picked me up and she arrived, she'd come from friends of ours and the family friends, and the lady had sent something for me, something to eat. You know, such a little thing. But, you know, it's just that old principle of it's difficult, but God knows. And there's always made provision. There's always something. There's always provision beyond what seems possible and what seems, what we see in the physical. You know, often it's so that God wants to bless us with so much more. But our hands are closed because we're clinging onto the little bit that we think is ours. Like this, you know. No, this is my time and my finances. And if we just kind of can relax and allow God that when we need to give, we can give. But then when we need to receive, we are able to receive. Our hands are open. You know, you can receive and you can give. Not clinging onto something that's actually not yours, not ours. It is really just a cycle of blessing that God wants to kind of kickstart in your life. And the same, I just realized the other day, I've never owned a motor car. And when you're in your 30s and you're a male of the species, it's like a big thing, you know. I'm thinking, yeah, you know. But actually, I'm so blessed by it. I wanted to buy a car once. I think I'll tell you the story. And I signed the form and everything, and then I got sick. So sick because the peace of God left me. And for 2 days, I sat with this thing, and then I just said, okay, I'll cancel everything. And the moment I put down the phone, I canceled the order to purchase, or the offer to purchase, then the peace of the Lord returned. But that's the closest I got to buying a car. And after that, the Lord gave, we were blessed with a car once. And then now in London, we were blessed with the use of a car, which is the same for me. I mean, whether it's somebody giving you a car or somebody giving you use of a car. Still, the thing remains, there's a cycle of blessing that God wants to start in our lives. And it starts with us taking the bit that we have and saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And that includes, like I said, relationships, time, finance, your spiritual gifts, It's an incredible, incredibly exciting partnership that he has prepared for us. Okay. So I'm going to challenge us with a few things. If you over budget every month, just making it, or you kind of feel, it's just not enough to do what I feel I need to do, or I've been thinking about sponsoring a child for many months, but I can't make it now. I've God has laid something on my heart. I don't think of it like that. I've just, you know, failed to do something, but I just haven't had the time. You know. Or you're frustrated, like, because you've got that, you're running around, you've barely got time for your family and friends, and now you've kind of had this unction to serve a church or to do something in the community. And just now you're kind of just pushing it aside because I just don't have the time now. Lord, I just hang on to that thought. When I made my first million, you know, I can't do it now. You know, some of us are frustrated with God, as we believe God has called us to do something, but we feel like the human resources aren't there. You know, you're maybe a small group facilitator, or you're in the worship band, or thinking, Lord, you know, these people that you've given me, they don't have any faith. They're not on fire. Don't you want to send me more leaders? Or don't you want to send me more musicians? Or don't you want to send, you know, we're kind of frustrated. I really believe that wherever you find yourself, God is saying there's a place of rest that He has prepared. There's a place where He has made grace available. And He is not confused. It used to be like my favorite thing to say. God is not confused, okay? If He has called you to do something, He has provided an abundance for you to do that. If He has given you people to work with, those are the people that's going to make it happen. Not those that you're praying for, that God is going to send. Those people will make it happen. If God has called you to bless someone financially, then your finances will make it happen. Your little bit. If God has called you to sow your time, then even that time that you're clinging on to, once you release it, once you're faithful and obedient, you're going to see God multiply it. And His blessing would be on it. As we do as a disciple, as we start to move in obedience to what God is saying, His provision will be there. As we start to take what that little bit, and as we are faithful to that little bit, we're going to see miracles happen. We're going to see lives transformed. We're going to see, you know, even that little prayer or that one letter or that one act can change a life. That one decision to be obedient can spark this cycle of blessing and favor that God really wants us to live in. And it's really so exciting, you know, to be in partnership with God like that. And I believe, you know, there's people here that are going to be earning big bucks, you know, big corporations, big businesses. Wherever you're at, you know, God wants to partner with you. He wants to give stuff so that as to us, great resources so that we can be a great blessing, so that we can be a channel of blessing, so that we can just be a conduit of His love manifested in practical ways. So that's the challenge tonight. God is not confused. He knows what your budget looks like. He knows what your time looks like. He knows how you feel about your spiritual gifts, but He's not confused. He's made every abundant provision for every good worker that He has prepared for us. Isn't that exciting? As we move in obedience with that little bit thing, that little bit, we will see Him do the miracle in our hands. Amen. So we're going to spend some time praying. If you're visiting us tonight, please bear with us. We're just going to divide and up in little groups as we're sitting. And we're going to pray for compassion. We'll keep it short and sweet, okay? So, as you're sitting, can I ask that... I'm going to take those little folders that are on the table there. I'm going to distribute... Ned can help you to distribute to the little groups. So what we're going to do... Firstly, we're going to pray for compassion and for the leaders and their vision and the projects. Then we're going to pray for the children that we are sponsoring as a congregation. And then specifically those kids, each of you are going to have a folder to each little group, or we'll hand out until they're finished. Pray for that little child. And then specifically the specific community in Ghana that we're partnering with in Ofancourt. There's a faith temple church there that we are partnering with, Pastor Fifi and his leaders there. If we could just pray for them as well. We're just partnering with them and see God doing amazing things in that community. So those are the three things. So as you're sitting, as you're comfortable to do, please divide up into little groups. And we're just going to put our faith together, pray the prayer of agreement, pray the prayer of faith, and trust God to do a miracle. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord, and we can put our faith together this evening, Lord. We thank you that we can commit compassion to you, Lord, every child that is being touched, Lord, every community, Father. Thank you that we can pray for Pastor Fifi and the church there, God, in the name of Jesus. We commit these to you, Lord, and we thank you for the amazing work that you're doing, Lord. We thank you for the amazing testimonies of what's happening, Father. And as we commit them to you, Lord, we prophesy over those projects and over those children that they would be the light of the world there, Lord, that they will be salt and light in their communities. We prophesy over them that they will be the leaders in their communities, Lord. We thank you for the power of the gospel in and through their lives to transform those communities and those families and those nations, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that the little bit, Lord, that is happening, Lord, that you are multiplying it to a massive miracle, Father, that we can see not even people just being fed and educated, Lord, but we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that is spreading, Lord, that the knowledge of your glory that is starting to cover, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. And we commit them to you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, that you are faithful to finish the good work that you have started, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen.